Our study this morning is again in 2 Peter, chapter 1, as we've been working through this book, 2 Peter, chapter 1. We'll be looking at, particularly at verses 12 through 15, but I want to start at the beginning of the book and read down to verse 15. Second Peter 1, Simeon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. The word of the Lord. This morning I want us to look at what Peter says in verses 12 through 15, and then what Peter means by what he says, and then what all of this means for you and for me today. First of all, what Peter says. It's rather simple. Peter says that this is my agenda. This is how I'm going to carry out my ministry. Verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. These qualities, these things that I've just been talking about, Peter says, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, love, as well as this truth that you now have and that you stand firm in. It's something that you already have bought into. You believe it. You know it. You're committed to it. The truth about God, the truth about our Savior Jesus Christ, the message of grace and peace, the truth about the divine power that is at work in us, the divine promises that have been given to us, that divine nature that we all participate in, confirming our calling and election. Peter says, you already know all of this. This is nothing new. This is something that you know. And you're already standing fast in what you know to be true. And yet, I intend always to remind you of these things. And then Peter says, this is always going to be my agenda. Verse 13 and 14. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Peter's saying, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm closer to the end of my life and my ministry than I am to the beginning. I'm going to be dead and I'm going to be gone sooner than you think. And yet, Peter says, I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to remind you of God's grace as long as I'm here. And then Peter says, this now is the goal. This is the objective. This is the bottom line to my agenda. And it's in verse 15. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. I'm going to constantly remind you of these things here and now. But the real goal that I have is when I'm long gone, you'll be able to recall all of the good things that God has for you and we find contained in Scripture. Pretty simple what Peter says. So simple that most of the commentators just gloss over this to get on to the next verse. It seems to be just a little transitional section in Peter's letter. But what does Peter mean by all of this? We've heard what he has to say. What does he mean? Well, he means that there's a problem that we all have to acknowledge. A man's got to know his limitations. The plain truth is we are forgetful. We know what needs to be known, but we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to fall asleep. When Peter says in verse 13 that he intends to stir us up, he's using a word that elsewhere in the New Testament means to arouse somebody from sleep, to wake them up. And so if you turn to the Gospel of Mark and you find that Jesus is in the boat, he falls asleep, a storm comes, the disciples panic, and they run back to where Jesus is lying on this cushion and they stir him up. They awake him. They arouse him from sleep. Sometimes you and I can doze off spiritually when we're full and satisfied. We know God's truth. We know the gospel. We're firmly established in God's truth, and perhaps we've memorized a good portion of the Westminster Shorter Catechism or even the Heidelberg Catechism or something else. Perhaps we're able to find the book of Zechariah without going to the table of contents in the front of the Bible, and we can make our way around the Bible and find things. But oddly enough, knowing all of that can make us drowsy. You know, it's like having a big Sunday dinner, and you get your tummy full, and what happens next? It's nap time. You go to sleep. You spend some time being a Christian. You're learning all there is to know about Christ. Your spiritual tummy gets full. Full of all kinds of good spiritual nourishment. You hear a sermon. You come to Sunday school. You read your devotions and you think, you know, there's nothing new here. I've heard this before. It's the same old thing. It's what he talks about every Sunday. I've heard it all before. I know this. I got this. And your spiritual eyelids get very heavy. And it happens to all of us. You know, we're not denying the gospel. We're not changing our beliefs. We're not losing our faith. We're not losing our salvation. But we're not actively holding the truth in our minds. We are just dozing off. If the truth is not in our minds, it's going to have very little or no effect on how we live. Jesus said it's the truth that will set you free. But when he says that, he's talking about truth that has gripped our minds and our hearts. And it's right there in the forefront of our minds so that we are thinking about the truth as it is in Jesus. So sometimes we can just doze off spiritually because we're so full and satisfied and we know so much. Sometimes it might be because of neglect. You know, we learn something, but then we fail to rehearse what we have learned. And then it begins to slip away from us. We begin to forget it. And again, at that point, the truth no longer has a good effect upon us. At that point, it becomes easy to be influenced by bad teaching or simply to be overwhelmed by our own personal problems. And then sometimes it's because of a distraction. And our gospel lesson last Sunday morning was from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. We read about Jesus was giving this parable of a sower who was going out and he was sowing seed, and some of that seed fell among thorns. And Jesus explained, these are people who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Other things come in and choke the word that we hear, that we believe in, that we know is true, something that we think is precious. And yet all of these other things are coming and choking that word so that we can't benefit from that word. Anxiety. Worries. I've got a lot going on at work. Legitimate diversions. Unfulfilled longings. Trials and troubles that we meet with in life. They can come in and choke the word and cut off all of the fresh air that the Spirit is trying to blow into our lives. Makes it very easy to just drift off to sleep. Forget what is true. Fail to live in the light of what is true. And we can be, as he says in verse 8, we can become ineffective and unfruitful in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Good Christian men and women are going to fall asleep in church, in their own Christian life, in their spiritual life. You and me, we are going to fall asleep. We're going to become drowsy and sluggish and numb to the things of God for a variety of reasons. And that's when it's easy for the devil or somebody else to come in and take advantage of us. You know, on the opposite page in my Bible, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, is he going to be looking for somebody who is strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and dressed in all the armor of God with the helmet and the shield and the sword, ready to do battle with the devil? Or is he going to just look for somebody who's dozing off? You know, when we become spiritually sleepy and sluggish, that's the person the devil will go after. But Peter says, here's how I'm going to address this problem. Here's the problem, is that we're just forgetful for a variety of reasons, but here's how I'm going to address this problem. He says, I'm going to keep reminding you of what's important. I'm going to keep it before you, in front of you. Verse 12, I intend always to remind you. Verse 13, I think it right to stir you up by way of reminder. Verse 15, I will make every effort so that you may recall these things. Christians need to be reminded of what is true. Peter says, I will always remind you. As long as I'm in this body, I will make every effort so that at any time you may recall these things. This is the essence of Peter's ministry. Now, sometimes it's going to be preaching new things for people to hear for the first time, and there'll be a radical change. But for the most part, it's going to be what you see here in the New Testament. Sometimes it's going to be something new. I think that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he began to preach Christ, he was confronting all kinds of people and he was hitting them with something they hadn't really thought of before. And he really engaged them. Their hearts were pierced. He got their attention. They wanted to know, well, if that's true, then what should I do? Just listen to how Peter approaches that sermon. He takes a text that's out of the book of Joel, and then he says in Acts 2:22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Now, that's how Peter begins his sermon. And then his conclusion, verse 36, same chapter. He says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. And then Luke adds, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the promise is for you, and it's for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now, I think people were hearing something fresh and new that grabbed their attention, and they responded. That's the gospel message, that we are all sinners, and that God has sent Jesus into this world to die in the place of sinners. He was put to death by sinful people. God raised him from the dead because it's impossible. He has this power of an indestructible life within him. And so it was impossible to keep Jesus dead. And now that he's alive, he offers forgiveness, the gift of the Spirit. And the promises for you who believe and for your children. Now, sometimes people are going to hear a message like that, and it's all brand new. But again, for the most part, for us, it's going to be the same old, same old. It's just what Peter does here. Notice, Peter even does it. He practices his own preaching. He gets to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. And he says, this is now the second letter that I'm sending you. Beloved, in both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. And Peter even points to Paul, who did the same thing. The more I read Peter, the more I understand Peter's been reading Paul. There are just these phrases and things that Peter is remembering that Paul wrote in one of his letters, chapter 3, verse 15. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. Paul is simply reminding you of things that you've already bought into and know to be true. We are all prone to forget. We all need to be stirred up and to be reminded. Now, what does all of this mean for you and for me today, for Church Creek Presbyterian? Well, me first. I'm your pastor, and this is my calling. God has called me to preach and to teach His Word as well as pray and pastor this congregation. Sometimes you're going to hear something new, but more often than not, it's going to be something that you've already heard and something that you've learned long before, but something that you need to be reminded of. It's always helpful to me to think I and you were always in a different place in our spiritual journey, and something that you have heard before so many times might mean something new to you at this point in your journey. But it's just going to be the same old stuff. I'm not here to impress anybody with my vast vocabulary and my rhetorical skills. I'm not out to astound anybody or dazzle them with some kind of obscure truth. I'm just a Bible teacher. I like to tell people what the Bible says, what it means for you. Teach the Bible and point people to Jesus Christ. And that's all I'm trying to do on Sundays. And to be honest, like Peter, I'm much closer to the end of my life in ministry than I am toward the beginning. And I've already told the elders and deacons that 2024 is going to be my last year. Deo volente, God willing. When I started the regular weekly pulpit ministry here at Church Creek in 1996, I consciously took Peter's agenda as my agenda. I simply and faithfully want to teach you the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I want to work alongside with you so that when I'm long gone, you'll be able to open your Bible and recall, well, this is what Philippians is about. It's how to develop a Christian attitude toward life. Or this is how I'm supposed to read the book of Revelation. Our Lamb has conquered. You know, let us follow Him. Or this is the message of Ephesians, you know, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, I'm to walk in Christ, I'm to stand firm in the Lord. And 2 Peter is about how to confirm your calling and election. Now, you need to do your part. I'll do my best to stir you up by way of reminder, but you need to store up the things that you are learning. Come on Sunday. Come every Sunday. Don't just come most Sundays. Come on Sunday and listen, and learn. Go home and improve what you heard. Read over the text again. Go on the church website and pull up the sermon and listen to it again. Memorize a single verse or just a phrase out of one verse that came up in the sermon and work it over and over in your mind and heart until it's really informing how you should be thinking about reality and about life. Look up cross-references. Engage in your own reading program. Get help from the Reformed Confessions and Catechisms. See how other faithful believers read the same Bible that you were reading. Don't always be looking for something new. Don't expect to be dazzled and astounded. Just be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who take God's word seriously. And then pledge that by God's grace you'll never give up. Confirm your calling and election by remembering what you already know, and then stand firm in that truth that you have already embraced. Let's pray.